Alpha and Omega. Well, that Alpha and Omega just happens to be Jesus Christ. And are we ready for judgment and return to earth with Alpha and Omega? There's going to be a rapture. Then while the saved are being judged in heaven, then the wrath of God will be poured out on those left behind in what I believe will be about a 45-day period. But notice I say about, because I can't give you days, but I can tell you that for a very short period, the wrath of God is going to be poured out after the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet is when all the saved go up, and it is when they're judged in heaven. And meanwhile, back at the ranch on earth, the seven vials of wrath are being poured out on those left behind. So when I ask, are you ready for judgment and return to earth with Alpha and Omega? Every one of us here, I believe you all know Jesus as your Savior. That's my belief, and that's what I think. I'm trying to make it very plain what we've got facing us, because it is not very far off. I still don't believe that the major portion of the tribulation period and the horrible events associated with it will be over there. And you know I don't escape trouble, but I believe it will be in the known world when John wrote the book of Revelation. Well, we're going to get the devil torn out of us here, but the United States is in for a lot of trouble, a lot of dangerous earthquakes, a lot of horrible things, a lot of storms. You wouldn't believe what we're in for, but it won't be anything compared to what Europe, Africa, Asia, and that part of the world exists, because they have literally abandoned any respect of Christ. So I've received salvation. You've heard this. You can preach it better than I can. That's not a big deal. Matthew 11:28. He says, come unto me, come to a person. All ye, it's plural, it's everybody, that labor and are heavy laden, and every one of you before you were saved, you labored under a heavy burden of guilt and sin. What happened when you came to him? And I will give you rest. He gave it to you. Oh, you doubted it afterwards. I don't know of anybody who from the moment they were saved, except some that lie a little bit maybe, that they knew from the minute they were saved and they never doubted. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I believe after it happens, you have to be taught and understand who you've got in you. And guess who's going to teach you? Jesus. And guess where he's going to teach you from? The Bible. That's why this is a teaching church. Now, the second question that I ask here, is your soul finding rest in Jesus' servant yoke by learning from him? If you took our church roll and went back through it, we have an unbelievable number of people who were once members of this church that are scattered all over the United States. And we have never practiced excluding people based on non-attendance. I absolutely, positively, unequivocally believe that it is wrong to exclude people for non-attendance. And I stick to that, and I'm not very popular because of that, but that's exactly what I believe, and I can make a case for it. Now, they ought to come to church all the time. But if the Lord out there quits bothering them, I'm sure not going to bother them, because it won't do any good. And I guarantee you the Lord bothered me from the time I was 12 years old until I was 38 years old. And he bothered me all the time about not being in church and doing what I was supposed to do. And I assume God does that to everybody. I don't know how much longer he'd have put up with it. I don't know about things like that. But I didn't find rest until I understood this. Notice it's right after 11:28. 11:29, take my yoke. Now the word is zygos. Zygos. And I didn't know that when I first got saved. I didn't learn that till I was, Lord have mercy, I was in my 30s. Take my yoke, zygos, upon you, and learn of. The word of is a preposition, and the actual Greek word means from. However, that I'm not saying the of is wrong. The word of is used there in the extent that Socrates, the ones that followed him, that listened to him teach, and Socrates was a pretty good teacher, they would follow him and they would say, who do you follow? And he would say, the ones who were following him, they'd say, I am of Socrates. While another would say, I am of Plato. And not the type you do what you make with your hands. And so there we are. Now, he says, and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I did start finding rest unto my soul until I finally realized, Tom, you better wake up, because you don't have that rest. God bothered me all the time when I didn't go to church. God bothered me constantly when I thought things I shouldn't think. I couldn't have any rest to my soul. You can't do it. If you're a child of God and you're out of fellowship with God and you're not even in the church, or you're out of fellowship with it, you will never find this rest. Well, I found it after I'd been up here probably about 20 years. And I began to find rest. But then I discovered that there were three spiritual gifts left. Faith, I had that, not a lot of it. Hope, I had that. And love. I didn't have much love for anybody but myself. Oh, I loved people, but I loved myself more. And when I discovered that, I thought the bottom has fallen out. I was totally depraved when I got saved. Back then, I knew I was totally depraved, but I really didn't understand what it meant. But I knew I'd tried for 4 years to get the Lord to save me, and it hadn't worked. I was trying to work my way to heaven. After that, I was trying to go to church and please God and get Him off my back. And I was like somebody got vaccinated and then had to go back and be vaccinated again, not resaved. Now, this is a double yoke. When you put your neck in it, and you keep sitting out there after you're saved, and you doubt your salvation, and you will, and have in the past, some of you sitting out here won't ever doubt it again. But when you first got saved, you weren't sure. Neither was I. Neither is anybody. After you get saved, you start doubting it immediately, because the devil is very quick to come after you. He wants you to doubt it. He can't take away your salvation, but he can take away the glory God gets out of your life. He that believeth is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay, once you believe, you're not condemned anymore. Well, why is everybody else condemned? Why are they? Here's why. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, that word condemnation, you've heard me teach this and preach this many times. You need to be able to, when people ask you about what we teach or what you believe about salvation, the first thing you're going to be attacked with is, well, it don't say in the Bible they don't say in there, once saved, always saved. Now, it don't say in there, once saved, always saved, does it? And the truth of the matter is, it does even better than that. Hang your hat on this. John 5:24, and I could show you a barrel full of these. Verily, verily, truly, truly, he's really emphasizing this, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, well, I heard his word the night I got saved, and believeth on him that sent me, and I believed on God before I ever even knew anything about Jesus. I knew somebody put this thing together. Hath, that's a present indicative active. Believe it or not, the Holy Spirit is a lot smarter than we are, and he knows what a present indicative active is. I didn't know that. I didn't pay much attention to any of this class, and when I got to seminary, man, I really started paying attention. That's a present indicative active. Hath everlasting life. And my simple question is, even if you don't understand what hath is in Greek, how do you lose everlasting life? It never was everlasting in the first place. That's a simple understanding of it. And shall not, what does shall not mean? Shall not come into condemnation. Why? He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's it. I'm not going to hell. It's finished. But it is past. That's a linking verb. It links up with hath. But is passed from death. I was spiritually dead. How spiritually dead were you? I was totally depraved from the top of my head to the bottom of my souls and everything in between. And I was passed from death unto life. Well, I already had life. What kind of life is this? Context. Go back up. It's everlasting life. That happened to me when I was 12 years old. Lord have mercy, I wish I'd listened to what they were preaching at church. My grandparents made me go, but I had a lot of evil things I wanted to think about and do. And so when it came time to making a commitment, I wasn't about to do that. You said, well, you weren't saved. Yes, I was, because I knew what good and evil was. So here's a question. Do you attend a church teaching the identity of the manger child? I know some of you may get tired of all this business of why we keep talking about Jesus as the great I Am. We talk about him as being the Almighty God. We talk about him being the Prince of Peace. We talk about him being the Counselor. We talk about him being the Comforter. We talk about him being the Everlasting Father. But this is something that I did not know when I went to seminary. I did not know that. All I knew was I was saved, and I was scripturally baptized, and I observed the Lord's Supper like I was supposed to. That's all I knew. I had to listen to preachers down through there in the ages, and that's all they ever, that's 99% of what they taught. And I had a problem, and unless God had led me to these scriptures, I would never have known that God wants a commitment from you, from me. And you've got to start somewhere. And you start in a church that teaches the truth about who he is. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. I'm not even going to comment on this thing as we go through it. Lord, you've heard it so much, you can repeat it. But you know where it is. If somebody tells you don't know what you're talking about, flip over to that scripture. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. This is Jesus, the child in the manger. And his name shall be called Wonderful. That's the Holy Spirit. He's a Paracletos. The Mighty God, Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Wait a minute. Where is the throne of David? Where is it going to be? It's going to be in the millennial reign. And he's going to sit on the throne of David because he is the son of David on the line of his man who wasn't his father. And upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice even from henceforth and forevermore. You and I are going to get caught out because Jesus saved us. And when we get there and stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the kind of garments that we're wearing and the brilliance, the glory that comes out from us, it won't even approach Jesus's. But there's going to be a great variation. Some are going to shine like the sun, some like the moon, some like the stars, and some like a lightning bug. But you'll know. You said, oh, Jesus is going to judge it. How do you think he's going to judge? You think he's going to call you out and stand up a line of all the people and go out through one at a time? No, he's going to judge you, and it's going to appear right there, and all of a sudden, you'll find out who served God, who didn't. You'll go all the way from a lightning bug up to, you'll never reach his brilliance, but you'll go up there. You've got to live there forever. I mean, you love your children. You want them to live there. You want to live. You want your wife to live there. You want your husband to live there. That's what you want. That should be what you want. You've got to make a living down here. You think God's an ignoramus? He knows that. That's why I don't say anything to you if you don't come to every service. That's why I don't think any more or any less of you. You should come to every service based on your relationship with the Lord. That's not my business. I just tell you the things in the Bible, and whatever you do concerning service to God, I try to stay out of your life. But I sure am going to tell you that there's going to be a lot of difference at the judgment seat of Christ when the saved are judged. I warn you, it's true. He says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. That's the millennial kingdom. To order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Who is the Lord of hosts? Well, I believe that in the Old Testament, Jesus was pre-incarnate. The incarnate Christ who came among us was God. And Thomas said, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, Thomas, have I been so long with you and have you not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Well, once you get that straight in your life, you think, man, this Jesus is somebody. Well, I hope he is. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Every knee, there's one God. He's your Savior. He's your Counselor. All those are offices. They're things that Jesus did, is doing, and shall do. And God has given him a name, his name, above every name. Jesus. And that's who I look to. That's who I talk to. Now, what are we? We're a teaching church. I've run that in the ground, and I know it, but I'm going to keep on hammering it. The more you know about who Jesus is, the more you love him. Man, I love him a million times more than when I first came up here. I didn't even realize how much I love myself. I didn't realize how selfish I was in the things that I did. I didn't realize. You say, where'd you find out? In God's Word. How'd you find out? I didn't want to look like a fool in front of you. So I had to study the Word. And the more I studied the Word, I said, hey, you're not equipped for a pastor at the seminary. You better start learning from me. And I did. I did. Do you seek maturity? Do you seek maturity by following Jesus to know him as the prize? What are you running a race for? You say, I want a crown. What are you running a race for? Do you seek maturity by following Jesus to know him as the prize? Do you know you're running a race for a prize? Do you know what the prize is? Jesus. And where is Jesus going to position himself in the millennial reign? In Jerusalem. The one that's over there right now. And where's he going to position himself in the heaven age? Inside the new Jerusalem, inside the walls. He's going to sit on his throne there. There isn't a temple there. The actual city and all the walls, the city would reach from Los Angeles over to Memphis. It's that long on one side. You say, well, hey, man, that's something else. Oh, amen, it's something else. And it's something that we've taught here in this church, and here's why. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The more you know about who Jesus is, the more you love him. Do you seek maturity by following Jesus to know him as the prize? Yeah. Where is the prize that you're seeking? It's to be close to him in the millennial reign, and it's to be close to him in the heaven age. And does he love you? He sure does. How much do you love him? You say, well, I love him with all my heart. Well, I thought that when I came here. And after I was here 15 years, I thought, man, I do love him. Then about 25, I said, man, I love him. And then by the time I hit about that's 35 years here, I suddenly said, oh, man. And I realized, that's what he wants me to teach this church. That's what he wants to teach you, to teach your kids. That's what I want to teach you. You know what the main purpose of the church is? Paul told you. He says, Philippians 3:10-14, that I may know him. You say, well, I've known him since I was 12 years old. No. I loved Imogene when I married her. I was crazy about her. She was crazy about me. We loved each other. But let me tell you something. After I got to know that woman, man, apart from Jesus, she was my second greatest love because I got to know her. Well, that's what you need to do, and that's what I need to do every day of our lives. Get to know him better. What else did Paul want? And the power of his resurrection. How many times have you heard me say, I wish he'd come right now. I'd love to be wrong about the last of the week, about the seventh trumpet. I'd love it. You say, well, you'd be embarrassed in heaven. No, I wouldn't be embarrassed. I'd be so glad you all were up there with me, and you wouldn't blame me for it because we got raptured early. But it's not going to happen at the first of the week. I've got to teach you the truth because I'm accountable for that to God. He said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. I got a lot of rebukes when I was in Maryland. I'd go around door to door and knock on the door with the pastor. And sometimes they would lay it on us. Sometimes they would run us off their property. I never told you. And after it was all over, I'd go back. And I'd be very depressed. And somehow the comforter would come. And he'd let me know, it's okay. It's okay, Tom. I didn't know it was because I needed training. I needed to actually be able to know what I was doing was right and to increase my knowledge and to learn how to fellowship with the sufferings of the Lord and being thankful that he thought me worthy of being persecuted. Being made conformable unto his death. What does that mean? If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The word attain means to grab a hold of, understand. He said, I want to understand more and more about his death and how it is connected with the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection, if by any means I might attain. What does that mean? To keep on learning, to keep on grasping, to keep on holding. He says, how long was he going to do it? He says, until the rapture, the resurrection of the dead. He says, not that I had already attained. He said, I'm not spiritually mature. Either we're already perfect. He said, I'm not fully mature, but I follow after. That's what you're doing right here. This is what I'm preaching here right now. You're following after him. You'll walk out of here with something new, probably, that you never realized before, if you listen. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. I finally know why I was apprehended of Christ. He reached out and put his arms around me, and this is where he led me. This, I followed him, and he grasps me, and holds me, and keeps me, and watches over me. You say, he does that because you're a preacher. No, he does that because I'm one of his children. And I guarantee you he'll do the same for you. That's why when people come to this church, I want them to find out what we believe and what they're getting into. And what they're getting into is a church that teaches the truth. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I want to know why Jesus grabbed me. Man, that's the first thing I wanted to know. I said, Lord, he called me in a hotel room in Omaha, Nebraska. And I thought, Lord, I'll do anything you want, but I'm a scientist, Lord. I'm going to work in the, and I'll witness about it and everything. Never satisfied him. Finally, I said, I'll do whatever you want. And I knew what I was supposed to do. And I did. And I got apprehended. And I've learned this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. Whatever happened in this church for the last 40 years is behind me. It's behind us. And reach forth into those things which are before. What does God want us to do as a church from here until the tribulation period comes and until the seventh trumpet sounds? We're going to have some tough times. Not nearly as hellacious and tough as they do over there in the old world, but it's not going to be pleasant. And you're going to see persecution of Christians, maybe not to the extent they are over there. They're not going to cut our heads off and put them on a stick. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what the high calling of God is in Christ Jesus? To run the race for the prize. And he's the prize. And those who run the race for him and at least listen to him and understand that you need to know more and more about him than you know now. They're the ones that are going to be closest to him in the millennial reign, inside the new, not the new Jerusalem, but the Jerusalem that's over there now. The Lord's going to direct the building of a temple. Everything's going to be wonderful. We're going to be over there in invisible bodies. They will be able to see we'll be able to see the angels, to talk to them. We'll be able to see the Lord. But those people that are left over there that go in as the Israelis, as Jews, that's the remnant he's going to bring through. And they will be in physical bodies, and all over the earth a small portion will be left. And it will be our job, when God says to go and do something. If you don't believe me, look over in the churches, the seven churches, and he tells one of them, and he's talking about the millennial reign. He said that we are the rods of iron. All I know is whatever the Lord tells me to do, I'll do. And I won't have any resistance inside but my carnal nature. Your carnal nature does not want you to come to church. He does not want you to become committed. He wants your life not to give glory to God. You've already figured that out, haven't you? Well, who do you think it is that's telling you that? It's the devil and the demons he has in an invisible kingdom that's all around us. What are you going to do with it? Well, That's not my call. That's between you and the Lord. But my responsibility is to teach you it's there. Alpha and Omega catches out the saved to judge them in heaven. Oh my goodness, you can do this a whole lot better than I can. Revelation 11, 15 and 18. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kings of this world have become the kingdoms of the Lord, of his Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's the rapture. Up we go to be judged in heaven. And notice what happens after we leave. While we're up there being judged, it won't take long to be judged. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and unto the saints, the saved, and unto them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. It's coming down. Boom, boom, boom. It won't take long to judge us. We'll be there, and all of a sudden you'll see who served and who didn't. There'll be tears. But God will wipe them away. You ever notice that? Because you're going to be there. And you're not going to, I don't know about tears per se, but I think there will be. There'll be a great agony in people that didn't serve God. And it's too late. Oh, they're going to be there forever. They're going to be ecstatically happy. But they're not going to be very as ecstatically happy as they could have been the closer being very close to Jesus. The question is, you love your family. You love yourself. You love your wife. You love your friends. Do you want them to live close to Jesus? Or do you want them to live outside the walls? You, as the father, are responsible to teach your children, to set an example for it. And mothers are responsible to teach their children to be responsible about the kingdom of heaven and how important it is. And when your children go to your grave, here's what you ought to want to hear. My daddy loved Jesus. My daddy loved God. They need to hear that from every one of your children. And I know in some of you, your life, I know you. That's exactly what they'll say. Because when it came time to serve God, you served God. And when it was time to come and listen to what you're listening to now, you could have stayed home in bed. But you came. You set the example for your children. I'm in church today because I was made to go to church. And for a while, after I didn't have to go anymore, and I went out and tried to face life and just run to Jesus every time I got in trouble or somebody got sick, I wasn't very happy. Just as soon as he would do what I would ask, take his time doing it, then I'd go right back to my old ways. God's church needs to be honored. It's a body of Christ. He's the head of it and he's the foundation of it. And it's local and visible, and that's what we are. And that's something that we need to teach our children. That's what my Sunday school lesson was about. He says, now, Alpha and Omega returns to earth with a saved at Omega. Okay, remember, here's the seventh trumpet rapture. After some 45 days, I don't think, a month and a half, maybe 3 months, you can't pin it down exactly. Oh, over, right down here. Here's Armageddon. Here we come again. But this time we're coming back. We've already been judged. We've been raptured. We've been judged. And now we're coming back. And here's where we come back. I had a missionary Baptist preacher that I really admired and respected, and he talked me out of this one time, and I wish to God he hadn't. But this is the way it is. Zechariah 14, 4 and 5, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. That's the second advent of Jesus Christ, which is before Jerusalem on the east. This is when we come back. This is when he comes back, at the second advent. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. That's when all Hades breaks loose on this earth. That's when the great blood comes up in the Jordan River Valley. Wonderful, play, wonderful, wonderful. Bring it on. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azale. That is talking about a place that was down in the... Well, I won't go into that. And ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the day of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. That's it. We're back here in glorified bodies. We'll know our kids. They'll know us. And there we'll be. We won't have a business anymore. We won't have a... profession anymore. We won't be school teachers anymore. But we'll be teaching people what we learned in a teaching church so they'll understand exactly what happened. And what I just showed you is exactly what is going to happen. The timing is, God just didn't mean for us to know that. Because if we knew the time, we'd wait up to the last minute and then supercharge ourselves and try to serve God. Don't tell me you wouldn't. Lord, I've known a lot of people, and I was one of them for a while. Are we ready for judgment and return to earth with Alpha and Omega? I'm going to teach in a school out here the book of Revelation. We'll preach 2 hours. I'll be doing it on Thursday night. Chuck Trusty will be doing another subject. We'll get all the subjects together and let you know before that time. Mike's been bugging me to death about it. I got to get it done because I'm scared of his wife. Are we ready for judgment and return to earth with Alpha and Omega? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. He's coming back with us, and they're going to be in a 1,000-year millennial reign where he's on them like a duck on a June bug, and we're on them like a duck on a June bug, and they can't see us, and we will do what he tells us to do, and we'll love every minute of it, whatever it is. You say, well, God's not that way. Why did God tell Saul to wipe out all the kids, all the women, all the children? You say, that's a heartless God. He probably, in doing that, kept them from going to hell. Everything God does has a reason. And when we get in there, we're going to deliver some things to those people. We're not going to kill them. But we're going to deliver some things to those people. And if God says, Tom, I want you to go over there and this bunch is, he'll tell me what they're doing. And I'll go over there and they're over there trying to worship on a hilltop. I'll just blow the hilltop off. And I'll inflict a few injuries on them, maybe. You say, well, that's pretty far-fetched. I don't think that's far-fetched. We are the rods of iron. You say, well, I can't do that. I'm a woman. Oh, man, you're going to be a whole lot more than just a woman. I'm going to be a whole lot more than just a man when we get over there and God empowers us and we are completely trustworthy and we don't want ever to part from him and we won't ever question what he does because you've been taught that God understands exactly what to do and exactly when to do it, anything from a little prick to death. Examples in the Bible. Get ready to go to work in the millennium and God will give you more than somebody. He'll give you more to do than somebody that didn't serve him. You're in a lot better shape being a member of this church and coming here than you realize. And because we got churches right now that are teaching heresy all over this state and all over the world. And we've got a situation that is very bad in the Middle East. He said, even so, amen. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. Well, I'll be. Jesus just came right out and said he was Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Well, you can read the rest of this for yourself until we get down to the last place. People are going to be able to be saved up until the seventh trumpet. I'll just tell you flat out. And Acts 2, 19 through 21. You're going to be here when the sun, you're saved. And you're going to be here when the sun is turned into darkness. And the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Up until that seventh trumpet rapture, God's more merciful than I ever thought he was. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Church members, I think we've still got time to grow into the kind of a church and the kind of witnesses that Jesus wants us to be. And if what I believe I've taught you in that last verse, if that's true, and I believe it is, they're going to come to us. and want to know what in the Sam Hill's going on. And all those people in those false churches, they believe they're going out at the first of the week, or 99% of them do. And when they don't go out and Hades breaks loose on the sixth seal, they're going to come running and wanting to know. And we need to know what the Lord says, so it'll give them courage after they repent of their sins and trust Jesus to use what little time they got left to tell others. And that's my idea of evangelism. And believe me, when I first came up here, I could never have gotten away with teaching that. I thank God that He sent me here.